I think it would be tough for him to answer the question whether he can still effectively serve the President of the United States.
John McCain taking the heat off himself and putting it on Eric Holder, the Attorney General. The press is on for Holder to resign, but the President has his back. You think he'll decide it's time to turn it up and turn it in and leave his position as our top cop in a way? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. You might have been watching some of what I call the Sunday Swirl, the political talking head. Sometimes it's lively discussion on, you know, pick a flavor, whatever show you happen to like, whether it's Face the Nation, Georgie Boy on ABC, or, you know, maybe you go for Fox. Tell you what, they get some really super good interviews, even CNN. You know, they're trading spots trying to get the same people, whether it's Meet the Press or whatever show it happens to be, and then they all do a panel discussion. So naturally, since this is the summer of investigations, it's all about what's happening with the IRS, what's happening with the AP scandal, even Benghazi a little bit. John McCain was part of the conversation because of his secret trip to Syria, then his photograph with the rebels who happened to be connected, some of them anyway, to kidnapping some Shiite pilgrims. Not good. When you get in a picture, I guess it's useful to know who it is that's being photographed with you, especially when you're a United States senator and you're on a secret trip. McCain used that for leverage, though, to talk about the fact that if we don't do something, we could really end up in a bigger mess in the Middle East because Iran is involved. Russia is supplying weapons to Assad. So this is our chance. We have to be there. We have to help the rebels because if we don't, it'll become a much bigger regional conflict that will ultimately explode into a powder keg, to which I say baloney. At some point, everything is exploding in the Middle East, and how much further do we want to get involved? It's awful what Assad has done to his people, but there is a lot of things going on corruption-wise behind the scenes in Syria, and how much better are some of those rebels than some of the things that we've seen from Assad's thugs? Not a great place to be. Lots of people have escaped, and let's hope more people escape. But can we really afford to be in the middle of the chaos in Syria? I say no way. I say we cannot do it. We can't do it because we're always going to be sucked into the sands of the Middle East. We don't have the money. We don't have the manpower. We don't want to have boots on the ground. We don't have the capital to expend in this direction anymore. We're already still paying in Egypt, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and the list goes on, in Israel. Can we really put more resources that we really don't have in Syria? No, we cannot. We can't do it. So no matter how much John McCain jumps up and down, he's not going to get enough help on the push to do something for Syria. No fly zone, weapons. Hey, the Russians are giving weapons to Assad. Well, let's give weapons to the rebels. Oh, but they were kidnappers. At least some of them were. Others are connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. Too risky. Doesn't make sense. Eric Holder resigning kind of makes sense. In fact, it does make sense to me. But he's got the president's vote of confidence. So why does he want to step away as the attorney general? The answer is no. Unless they decide, the White House gets frustrated enough, and Obama puts somebody else on the problem, and they decide to tell him, okay, now it's time for you to leave because this is too much. We can't take the heat anymore. And I think behind the scenes, the staffers know that they can't take the hit for this. And they don't want to take the hit. They want Holder gone. But unless the president gets out of the way, that frustration will just continue to build and build and build. I think his political card has been punched. And the problem is the ineptness of him. All of these investigations, these leaks, all that kind of stuff. To me, it started before Fast and Furious. It started with the CIA and dumping on the guys the second time around, investigating the people who had already been cleared and creating a massive amount of turmoil in that organization where some of our best people left and others were really begged to stay, but pushed the CIA, I think, massacre aside. That happened 4 years ago. And look at Fast and Furious, but look at the situation with the Associated Press. What's the deal on this? Didn't know the subpoena was coming. Pulling phone records of 100 reporters? Come on. How can you continue to have an attorney general like this who's not answering the questions? Somehow, though, he can look whoever it is that's questioning him on the Hill in the eye and just come up with some sort of spin. Just come up with it. I think what you hit a point where you have pegged the meter. He has pegged the meter. He is not doing any favors for this administration, and I think he needs to bow out. I mean, even the decision to prosecute the September 11 terrorists in a Manhattan civilian court, I mean, that decision was reversed, but that was another blunder where they didn't even check, oh, geez, it's going to cost how much money? New York at first is saying, yes, let's do this. Then they realize, ooh, we're going to have all kinds of extra cops on duty. You imagine what a target New York City would be, and we've got to pay for that? Forget it. We're not going to do it. So then you go back to Fast and Furious, the whole botched gun trafficking investigation, and Holder was found in contempt of Congress for that. So this is it. I think he's played out. He's unraveled, and he's unraveling 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue more. So if you're critiquing him when you're the president, that's what happens. Eventually, enough is enough. And I imagine the staffers win, and eventually Holder steps aside because the impact of what's going on here is, I think, too much for them to weather. Any other controversies, and that's just the straw that breaks the camel's back. So I'd say step aside and let's move on from that one. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, going to talk about DWIs, yep, with Mark Stevens. He's been on the show before. He specializes in that. It's interesting, some of the things that people will do when they're pulled over. We just went through last week of Memorial Day, so there's always speed traps and checkpoints and things that are set up. I call them checkpoints, but sometimes they have coffee there and whatever. But people are willing to just give up information, even when they're completely innocent. They haven't been drinking, and they spew out what kind of medications they're taking. So in case you missed it, it's an America Tonight re-rack. Terrific stuff from Mark Stevens about some of the things that he's seen with DWIs. On the flip side, though, some odds and ends, including Angelina Jolie opening up about her double mastectomy and her husband talking about it as well. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe's financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple. A case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
I feel great. I feel wonderful. And I'm very, very grateful for all the support from my last week. I've been very happy just to see the discussion about women's health expanded, and that means the world to me. And after losing my mom to these issues, I'm very grateful for it. And I've been very moved by the kind of the support.
All right, in this edition for your health, people were wondering how she felt about doing something really drastic, but that was the voice of Angelina Jolie, the actress who had a double mastectomy. She's got, I want to say, 5 kids, and she decided she wanted to be around for those kids, so she felt as though, because her mother had such a severe form of cancer and died from it, that she would do the testing for it. They had that genetic testing, and the testing showed that she was at risk for it. So she decided that she needs to go in that direction to save her life, to give herself a better chance to save her life, and to make sure she was there for her children. What's interesting about it is the idea is, if other forms of cancer, family members that die of cancer, that kind of thing, it's called the BRCA, it's the BRCA gene mutations is what they're testing for. And, of course, a double mastectomy is one of the most traumatic things that you can surgically have done. It's so severe. It's one of the most dramatic things that you can undergo. Some people thought that, okay, Angelina Jolie doing this, for her, she makes that decision, and she decides it's the good thing for her to do, the right thing for her to do. But does it influence other women who freak out and think, ugh, I could be in the same situation as she is? Or Christina Applegate did a similar thing because of her mother and how severe her cancer was. She did the same thing to try to cut it off at the pass. So it's created a big discussion. That's what she says there. I'm glad people are talking about women's health, so she actually handled that curveball question well. Her husband also had something to say about it. Take a listen.
The beautiful thing is that for us, life will go on. We're here taking care of business as usual, and we've now since come on the other side of that. And very moving experience. It certainly brought our family tighter together. And I just, it's the bravest thing to me. I get a little emotional about it because of just the act of selfless we did for our family, and then bring, telling your story to others and what it means. What it means to others really surprised me. I'm just very special.
Was it a hard decision to go public?
No, it's something that she wanted, felt she wanted to share. And it's important for that other people know that this is available, this testing is not available for everyone, and it should be, and that there are surgical options, and that everyone should have these options. That's the party.
No chance that he was at a disco or somewhere where they were playing loud music, but that's why that reporter was lucky to get those off-the-cuff comments about it and actually ask him. We have pharmacist Ben Fuchs on the show, and Ben, who originally went to journalism school and got a degree in journalism, then became a pharmacist and learned all about pharmacology and was really passionate about it. Says that nothing bad to slam her, but he thinks it's a very dangerous precedent because is it really the right thing to do? And as he was on the show last week talking about it, he says, you know, she becomes kind of the poster child for doing something really crazy and insane when it's more about nutrition. And then if you could look to nutrition, that perhaps you wouldn't even have to take something so drastic by having the right combination of lifestyle and nutrition and all that kind of stuff, even if you think you have this genetic disposition. Now, there are others that say, you know, on the other side of it, that she did the right thing because she took charge of this, and if she really takes that BRCA gene mutation test and it shows that this is not, you know, this is with the genetics, that this was something that she felt that she needed to do. It is very, 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 it is very, very scary to go under the knife any time. And a double mastectomy is a huge, huge operation. One of the things that Ben Fuchs talked about with us, he said, look this up. There's a biochemist, Dr. Otto Warburg. He discovered the deficiencies in oxygen, discovered that it makes cells cancerous, and that what really causes cancer is a whole bunch of factors, nutrition, your stress levels, exercise, all of that combined. Either way, she did her husband's right, Brad Pitt. She did make news. She did get the conversation going, and I think that it's good. It's good that we're talking about it instead of burying it and not talking about this genetic testing that some people think is a lifesaver and some people think is unnecessary, like pharmacist Ben. We'll have him on later this week talking about a couple of other things. I want to take a little bit of a radical turn here because we talked about this story so much with Jeff Atticott and some other people, our terrorism expert. The private who is now going to pay the price, I think, for WikiLeaks. You know, Julian Assange, who's the man behind WikiLeaks, tries to throw out every once in a while some epitaphs about how the United States should hail Bradley Manning as a hero. But tell that to Bradley Manning, who now is gone and is going to face life behind bars. The lawyer for Bradley Manning, who sent tons of classified material to WikiLeaks, says there are a lot of supporters for him, and this is just ahead of his court-martial that starts this week. In fact, the lawyer's name is David Combs, and he just issued a simple statement because a lot of people are trying to get to him. And he said, on behalf of myself and, you know, Private Manning, I want to thank everyone for supporting us the last 3 years, for raising money, awareness of the case, all that kind of stuff. And Combs hasn't said very much about the case publicly, has declined to do interviews and that kind of stuff. The trial starts Monday morning, and he is charged with indirectly aiding the enemy by sending classified material to WikiLeaks. As I said, life in prison is awaiting him unless he gets off, unless his lawyers get him off. But I think they're going to have a hard time doing that. I think Combs is going to have a hard time doing that because clearly he did leak the material. I think they're going to say that it was a danger to us in this country, and that's pretty much going to be the government's case. And you have the classified material that was definitely, he definitely pumped it out to WikiLeaks. They have that evidence. So clearly, you know, in the in a court martial, just like in a court of law, you're looking at evidence, and the evidence does not favor Manning as to what could you possibly come up with defense-wise as to why you did that, why you did that. I also want to throw this out because we haven't done a daily salute in a while, and this is a good daily salute. Think of being 10 years old and you're Tyler Schaefer, that's who this kid is. He found $10,000 in a drawer in a Hilton Kansas City Airport hotel room. He and his father had stopped there for the night, but he was putting stuff in the bureau, and he came up with, found the money. The money was there, and so he decided he was going to turn it in. They could have just walked away with the money, but he decided to turn it in. They called police, and there were some off-duty officers that were as working as security guards at the hotel. They gave the money to them, and then they filed it away. But how about that? What a windfall. $10,000. Even when they turned in the money, they said it was the largest recovered amount of money that they had ever gotten in that particular police station. So apparently there was a South Dakota truck driver mechanic who forgot the cash. He had it there, and he did his wash, and somehow he forgot his $10,000 that the kid found in the room after he left, and they worked in the room. They went to the room. That's a pretty amazing story that nobody in between, think about it, people cleaning the room, people coming maybe in and out, I guess they weren't, because somebody would have, I would think somebody else would have discovered it. I don't know, you're in a hotel room, you find 10 grand, you're a kid, you tell your father, I found 10 grand. There's a lesson in that. I hope the kid gets some kind of a reward, whatever it is. When you think at that age, if he got $500, he'd be incredibly happy. But I hope that truck driver does do that, gives him just a little bit of cash to go out and have, I don't know, a nice dinner with his family, maybe buy himself some computer games, because $10,000 is a lot of money to misplace. In the wrong hands, poof, it's gone just like that. All right, we're talking some legal stuff and DWIs on the flip side.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds. It's reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Cotton includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Shank, founder of eFoods Direct. Right now, we have a huge number of Americans that are in serious trouble right smack dab in the middle of the Oklahoma disasters. I know that thousands of you, like us, are frustrated with not being able to help those who have lost so much and are in so much pain. We can't stand idly by. Food is the best way to help the victims and support the relief effort. We have a plan for any of you who would like to partner with us in providing food in this desperate time of need. We've built a 7-day emergency food package containing breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a whole week for one adult, valued at $60. Your $25 will ship this life-saving supply directly to those in need. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. The food is contributed at considerably less than cost. Thank you.
GCN listeners have their minds wide open, and open minds are inventive minds. America urgently needs new products and services to grow companies and to create new jobs. I'm Russ Weinzimmer of Russ Weinzimmer & Associates PC, a national law firm helping individuals and small companies across the U.S. As a GCN listener myself, I know this country is in deep trouble, and it's time to take action. Even if you've never worked with a patent attorney before, we will work with you to get strong, strategic protection for your invention. Just contact us for a free consultation to see if you can become a client. We are registered patent attorneys, so all consultations are completely confidential. Just go to strategicpatentlaw.com or call 800-621-3654 for your free consultation. That's 800-621-3654 or go to strategicpatentlaw.com. From your mind to the marketplace.
Tonight, we had him on before. He's terrific. Mark Stevens, an attorney who specializes in DWIs. In fact, if you go to his website, it's byebyedwi.com. Mark, I hope you had a great holiday, and we're glad to have you back on the show.
I sure did, and thanks for having me, Kate. I appreciate it.
Is this traditionally the time when more speed trap kind of things are set? And, I mean, let's be honest, police are looking for more of the kind of drinking and driving thing since it's the summertime, or am I wrong on that?
No, you're not wrong at all. There are certain times throughout the year that their presence is really out there, but the summertime from Memorial Day really right through to Labor Day, they're just out in droves. They get these federal grants to go out and run speed traps or DWI roadblocks, or they're out sniffing for drugs or whatever it is that their particular grant is given for. They're all out there.
I got a question for you. When I was a kid, I was pulled over and they wanted me to take a sobriety test. I hadn't had anything to drink. What I did was I kind of skidded through a stop sign. You know, we call it California stop. And
sure.
I went through the stop sign. But of course, I was a kid. I was a nervous wreck. And I did whatever they said, you know, oh, take the test and all that. And of course, I passed with flying colors because I had nothing to drink. But I got to tell you, I mean, like I said, I was on edge. I was young. And I wondered this, when you get pulled over, maybe you've had just one cocktail or whatever it is it best to just, especially if you're in that situation, is it best to just say, okay, fine? Or can you say, no, I'm not taking that?
Well, if you're not under arrest yet, it varies from state to state, too. But here, in most of the states around here, if you are asked to take field sobriety tests prior to your arrest, you can say no. And unless you're a gymnast or, you know, an Olympic figure skater or somebody else that has special, you know, balancing ability, the chances are, unless you're a kid, you're not going to pass it. When you're a kid, you can pass it, you know. You start to gain a little bit of weight, and age and gravity start to work against you. And these tests are difficult for anybody to complete and pass to the cop satisfaction, drunk or sober.
Yeah. Are DWIs, do you think, are they up? It seems like every time I turn around, it's not just the famous people, but it seems to me across the board, and every area is different, but overall, if I were going to generalize, I'd say across the United States, I think it's up. What do you think?
I don't think it's up, actually. I think it's actually down or remaining somewhat consistent. What you see, though, is because of the advent of social media and the rate with which we find things out so quickly on Twitter and Facebook and on the news, is that the cops make a bigger deal out about what they're getting than they used to. So it's kind of a publicity stunt for the cops if they run a roadblock and they arrest two people to say, look, we took these two drunk drivers off the road, when really that's not a great yield for a roadblock with the number of people that they stop. So they're arresting about the same number of people, at least in our state, every year. And they kind of spin that, well, look, that just means that people are getting the message and the number's going down, or people aren't getting the message and it's going up, whichever way they want the number to work for them to get more federal grants.
Yeah. You know, people automatically assume when they hear about, oh, so-and-so was pulled over for DWI, you can't help it. It's just, it's odd because we live in a country where innocent until proven guilty, but I think people think, oh, guilty. So I wonder, when you're in court, what do you tell your clients? What do you tell them when you're trying to get the facts from them? What are the things that you're looking for to clear them, to see, you know, to get some of the skinny on what happened in the situation?
This is one of these, it's an interesting way to put it. This is one of these crimes, there's only a couple of them, these and sex offenses, where really, although the Constitution says the burden is on the state to prove them, it's really on us to prove, that, in practical terms, to prove that they're not guilty. So either through effective cross-examination of the cops or trying to destroy the state's case or putting on a case of our own, it's really on us, because there is that presumption of, well, they drank, they drove, they crossed a line, whatever it is that they did wrong, that they're guilty, and we need to show that they're not, which is a shame, but it is what it is.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's why I asked that question. Do you feel like more people are getting cleared? That if you have a decent attorney and you can find the, I don't want to call them loopholes, but you can find that there's holes in the evidence or that kind of thing, are we seeing more of that maybe?
I think what we're seeing more people get cleared because of more videotapes. In the past, it was just the cop's word against the client's word, or maybe just the cop's word, and, you know, people would tend to believe cops. Now, you look at a videotape, and you hear the cop describe the speech is slurred and the balance is bad, and then you listen to it and watch it and say, is this the same person you were just talking about? They tend to embellish and overstate what clues of impairment that they see. So if you can look at something, no matter what a cop describes it as, and you look at it and say, that person looks pretty sober to me, they've got a much greater chance of acquittal. Unfortunately, not all police departments videotape.
Yeah, that's starting to become more common. But then again, with budgetary cuts and everything, sometimes that's one of the first things to go, even though it's been on the list. So just
well, that's
depends.
What they say, but they've got these other kind of junky toys, you know, the little preliminary breath testers that aren't really admissible in court. You know, they've always got new tasers, you know. But if you really wanted to find out, if you wanted the jurors or you wanted the judge to know what happened out there, you would have a truth box in your cruiser, and it would be videotaping and audio recording what happened.
Yeah.
And that's the best evidence there is.
Yeah, good point. Of all the kinds of things that go to court, because litigation overall in some ways is down, there's a lot of
right.
settling before you go to court, but in your area, is that the same thing? Is there more settling, or is it, or no, it's, you know, you're appearing in court and then we go from there?
Not on a DWI, there's not. Most cases tend to settle because there's this specter of jail, these other crimes, you know, if it's an assault or a drug case or whatever, the person has this, you know, fear of going to jail, and maybe that can be settled and resolved in a way that everyone can live with it. With a DWI, though, really, few people are willing to put their neck out and sign off on a charge reduction. So the person is usually left with little choice but to fight it.
Yeah. So you end up fighting
it. Everybody's afraid to read about themselves giving someone a break that goes out and mows somebody down or something. You know, that's kind of a self-protection thing with the state. They don't want to give someone a break in the event that this is not a one-time occurrence. But in some cases, you know, the cases are so weak that they might think about that.
Yeah. Would you rather be before a judge or a jury, or it depends on the facts of the case?
It depends on the judge. but it depends on the facts, too. There are some, you know, technical defenses that you would rather put in front of a judge. You know, if you're arguing over whether a road was a public way, for instance, or, you know, whether the keys being close to the ignition but not in it constitutes operation, but the person is clearly drunk. That might be something you want to do in front of a judge. But as far as the... you know, the classic battle of is this person intoxicated or not, generally you'd want a jury for that.
Okay, generally a jury. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, because you you know, you think about it, and the 6 or 12 people in the box there can listen to this and say, wait a minute, you know, that doesn't sound so bad, and that could be me, or that could be my kid, or that could be somebody else sitting over there next to the defense lawyer.
Yeah. Do you find that, I know in some cases, certainly when we're talking about big-time criminal cases, this will happen, but there is a lot of mock juries, a lot of that kind of stuff. Jury consulting is big, depending on the case. Do you find, I mean, all the years that you've done this, do you have a gut feeling? Do you get good at the times that you have to have a jury? Do you get good at reading a jury and how they feel about alcohol and driving and all those kinds of things?
Well, you know, we try to present questions to them that, you know, will flush out a bias. But if somebody's got a real bias, a real agenda, they're going to get seated in the jury box. If there's somebody that just hates people who drink or whatever, they're going to be quiet through the questioning and get themselves into the box. But really, I know different people have different ways of doing it. I know a lawyer who just takes the first 12 that get picked and doesn't object to any. I tend to review the questionnaires very carefully because I don't know, just obsess over it and hoping you don't let the wrong person in there. You know, and you look for little things that they write on their questionnaire and so forth. Have they had experience with drunk driving of their own? Have they had a family member who was hurt? That kind of stuff. But it's not a science. It's people, you know. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's people. I love the way you said that. Are you finding that in the cases, I guess it's probably demographics across the board, but is there a particular, your phone rings more in one direction than the other? I mean, younger people, older people, women, men, or nah?
Ours is a mix. It's we do try and measure the demographics. It tends to be more male than female slightly. Age-wise, it's across the board. It's 16 to... you know, into their 80s, as long as you can drive.
yeah, there you go. And I bet the younger they are and the older they are, the more maybe worried they are, I would think.
Yeah, the more worried they are, and, you know, the older they are, too, the less likely they're going to be able to pass field sobriety tests, the more likely they are to give statements to the police because they tend to trust them a little bit more than, you know, than a younger person would who's grown up watching cop videos on TV, on the news, and seeing different things. You know, they tend to tell the cops what kind of medications they take, which is a really bad thing to do. Just pull out that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday thing and showing the cop what you take is not a good idea.
Yeah, so you tell people that. You say, listen, I mean, this is some good advice to people listening. Don't say anything, right? Wait until you have your attorney.
That's right. That's right. Ask to speak to a lawyer right away. Don't make any statements that would hurt yourself. As I like to say to people, very simply, lawyer up and shut up.
I like that. Perfect way to end this. Mark Stevens, thanks so much. Check him out at byebyedwi.com. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Kate. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here.
Atlas Survival Shelters. Made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bomb-proof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at atlassurvivalshelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-B-U-N-K-E-R or atlassurvivalshelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Imagine waking one morning only to find your family shivering in the dark because you couldn't afford to pay your electric bill. That's closer than you think. You probably haven't heard about this yet because the liberal media has been suppressing what is fast becoming the most shocking news story of 2012. Obama's secret war on coal that could increase your already high power bill as much as 400% in coming months. As shocking as it sounds, it may well be just a matter of time before the lights start going out across America. But here's some good news. There's an underground video at exposed123.com that thousands of smart patriots have used to end their slavery to the corrupt electricity monopoly. The video at exposed123.com has already been banned by Google, and the liberal media is doing everything in its power to take it down and keep America in the dark. So watch it now at exposed123.com before it's too late. Again, that's exposed123.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LaCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LaCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Here in this hour of America tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We're off to another week, the first full week in June. So let's see some of that summer weather, and hopefully things calm down in California with the wildfires and tornadoes. Yeah, we're not talking about those funnel clouds. I'd like to see those go away. But, of course, we're in the middle of hurricane season. They say there could be seven really horrific ones that may hit the United States, which means maybe there's a chance of a couple because, you know, they start off as tropical storms and whatnot. Let's hope we don't have any. Maybe a little bit of rain and that's it. Pray for a little bit of rain, but no hurricane activity when you think of what happened with Superstorm Sandy and how that ripped up the East Coast. They can ill afford to have that happen there. And then we're still recovering from all the tornadoes, and you know, FEMA is pretty much going to have to hand out some IOUs if we continue down this path that we're beaten here with Mother Nature. We're losing every single time, or so it seems. All right, so we hit the final post, as I call it. There's a couple of interesting things that I dug up on the day. I've been following this Anthony Weiner stuff, and, you know, there's too many jokes to even go through any of them now, but we're all over the ha-ha jokes about his last name, I think. What's interesting, though, is does he really have a chance to be mayor of New York City? Can people see somebody stoop so low where he's taking pictures of his body parts and sending them to young women through Facebook or other fans through Twitter or whatever, and shirtless working out in the congressional gym and whatnot, and then resigning in disgrace, his wife pregnant, having the baby, then coming back. I mean, you know, I think we are a nation that forgives, but how much can you forgive? So Anthony Weiner celebrated the Israel parade today. He was walking down the route. He had a large Israeli flag with one hand and a bullhorn in the other. And he was chanting as he was going up Fifth Avenue a Hebrew slogan touting Israel's continued existence. It's God bless America, Israel Chai, welcome to New York. So he says it was like a homecoming for him because here he is running for mayor. He's getting a lot of support. It was just 2 years ago all that controversy led to him dumping out of his office, dumping out of Congress. And he says, you know, it's a great day to be a candidate. Before I stepped aside, I came to this parade every single year, and it's one of my real joys. And along the route, though, he was booed by the crowd a couple of different times. There were a few groups of women that yelled, ooh, out when he went by, and people screaming things out, tweet me a picture, and I love Weiner, and, you know, blah, 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 you know, on and on, that kind of stuff. So it does make me wonder, what kind of support is he going to get? He sends out explicit pictures of himself to people who he didn't know if they were underage, of age, or whatever they were. Then he lied about it. He denied it, denied it, denied it. Then when he's finally caught and he has no choice, and he at one point was blaming other people, he has to tell the truth because they have him. It's coming out. The story is coming out. And then he steps aside, and here he is running again. And like I said, you know, we are a nation of forgiving people, but there's not a better Democrat to run that can run for mayor of New York City, our biggest city in the United States. There's not somebody with maybe a little better moral compass. I don't, you know, I'm just thinking. And more than anything, it's the lying, denying stuff that I don't like, because what's he going to do if he becomes the mayor of New York City, right? This is a sad story to me, and I haven't hiked in a long time, but there was a point in my life when I lived in Albuquerque, and because I grew up in a city, and we didn't do much hiking, but I really liked the outdoors. I grew to love it when I learned to, you know, do some of these day hike things in the Sandia Mountains and Santa Fe, and even if some of you aren't hikers, you might have done one or two hikes in your life. So Yosemite is like the grand Mac Daddy of them all. They have this incredible waterfall in the middle of Yosemite National Park, and everybody wants to go and see it and take pictures of it and hike around it, get close to it, all that kind of stuff. But for some reason, people just get really daring when they get close to this waterfall, which is 594 feet. That's a 594-foot waterfall. So it's strong currents, you know, and all that, with the water flying over it. A 19-year-old kid was there on a church trip, and he was swept over the edge. He was swimming, and the current got him. It swept him to the edge of the fall, and it, you know, happened over the weekend and the afternoon on Saturday, and he was trying to swim to shore from a rock in the middle of the river, and he got sucked into the current, and then that was it. He flew over the side of it. Then they've been searching for him, and they haven't found anything so far, but I don't think anyone's ever survived that kind of a fall, and they say that. They say, you know, you're not expecting anyone to survive this kind of fall. They do these search and rescues along this trail. There was a group, three people from a different church group back in 2011, I remember talking about this, that flew over the edge of the Vernal Fall after climbing over a metal guardrail. And now here in this case, he's swimming. You got millions of people every year that go there. And you know, they average 15 deaths a year. And I just wonder how many people get sucked into this idea that, hey, I'm not, you know, there's the edge of the falls, I can see it, but it's off in distance far enough, pretty cool, I'm all right, I can get close enough. And close enough is just, I don't know, I think getting too close to that waterfall is obviously, people are not judging that right. This kid certainly did not want to go over the side of it, but I guess he felt like he was far enough away that he was okay, and that wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to get caught in the current, but it was just, it's too swift, and it just pulled him right over the side of it. Sad story. There with the church group just celebrating. Decides he wants to swim. Nobody really thinks much of it. And then the next thing you know, he's going over the side of the falls. I mean, I just wonder if there's, is there any way they can kind of close that off? Not the views for people, but I guess I'm answering my own question. How do you do that? It's a national park. People go in, and if they're going to do something where they put themselves in that situation, they're not going to police it. How do they police it? But with 15 deaths a year and a lot of them happening over those falls, you would think there would be, geez, just something they can do. So much of our focus has been on Syria and McCain's trip and saying we keep pushing, we got to give them arms, money for arms, we got to do whatever we can, prop them up, and blah, 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 while Iran's on the other side of this helping Assad, and the Russians are giving weapons to Assad. It's interesting because in Turkey now they've had a serious outbreak of some violence where this has been brewing for a little bit, and they say thousands of people were protesting in Syria, and they're saying that, you know, this is an anti-government kind of thing. So what's happened here is they're even saying that the police were using gas against the demonstrators, and the demonstrators are on the rise, and the reason is they don't like the power of the prime minister. They say that who has too much power, and they're protesting that power and looking to make a change. So you've got the secular Turks versus the prime minister's crew that's a little bit more Islamist rooted as far as their, and that's the party too, it's the Justice and Development Party is what they call it. So they think that they're going to keep seeing this. They're going to see more of these spontaneous demonstrations in Istanbul. And this is just the very beginning of it. Two people died and 1,000 people, this is a sad thing, were injured in the in this clash. And they're starting to amp up a little bit more. And they're worried about what they're going to use on the people that decide that they're going to protest. So look out. Turkey is also having some problems.
Safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.